All right. It appears I'm having some technical difficulties. But I shall carry on by myself, it looks like, because Kano's not coming in. We potentially have a guest. I don't know if I got a hold of Kano. Let me check my my text messages. Well. So there it is. This might get a little hinky. All righty. Attempting to fire up a program that will allow me to call Kano. We'll see what happens. Anyway, welcome to the Demented Dungeons & Dragons podcast, where we talk about anything, including but not limited to Dungeons & Dragons, Parallel Kingdom, Mysterio Legacy, Mabinugi, and any other game that you are enjoying out there. We do occasionally talk about politics and strange phenomena and whatever. And hopefully we'll have a guest on tonight who would like to talk about the Colburn Bible and Nibiru. Hopefully he has examples, because quite frankly, I can't really speak to the subject one way or the other. I'm familiar with the fact that there is a Colburn Bible out there, but my knowledge of its history is kind of shaky. So, as I told my friend who called and told me he'd like to speak about this, when he asked me where I was concerning Nibiru, I would be on the fence because I can't say yay or nay. All right? I don't know enough to say yes or no. So, let's see now. There we go. And we're attempting to make a call. Yay. Obviously, he's busy. If he wasn't busy, he would have called in. And here I am, bugging him, probably driving him nuts. Yeah! I think he hung up on me. Which means he's really busy. Let me see if he sent a message. Nope. No message. Well, let's see if I have an IP address that will allow me to go to the website. Nope. Forbidden. No access. Right. So I'm going to have to send my friend the link, and he'll have to figure out how to do with it himself.
Oops.
Hate when it does that. I typed in
.com and it put in a space before the com, which would render the link useless.
John, I'm sorry. Can't reach Kano. There he is.
Now, with any luck, he will go to DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com and see that there is a call-in number on the site.
So my character is busily planting and harvesting aloe in the game, which in real life is a very useful herb, and in this game they made it a very useful herb, which is kind of funny. You get in trouble, use some aloe. It'll heal those wounds right up, which is pretty much the truth in real life. Get a wound, put some aloe on it. Oops. Yeah, a little bit of glitching here and there. Oh, well, somebody commented, illegal immigration hurts the blacks the most. I'd like to respond to them. This is in the game. There's no such thing as illegal immigration. And, yeah, your head's probably spinning on me saying that. It is not possible to enter a society without the society's permission. Can't do it. All right? So if they're entering the society, immigrating to the society known as the United States of America, it's because in some way, shape, or form, the United States of America, the society, has allowed them in. And just because they're on the land doesn't mean you're part of that society. Okay? I'm an example. I am no longer a member of that society. I have voluntarily left it.
To my image and likeness.
Hello?
Hello, is this Joseph?
Yeah, hold on. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm in the process here of putting up some information on my PDF files on Facebook. How many we got in here?
Just you and me.
Okay, yeah. I'm putting some new information up. And
yeah, folks, this is my friend in Joseph. My friend Joseph. In Montana, he told me during the break between shows that he'd be interested in talking about Nibiru and the Colburn Bible. And
yeah, there's much confirmation on this. many sites on YouTube that shows it, but there's a talk show called Nibiru News, someonesbones.com, Mike. A lot of us speak and give a lot of information, not necessarily about Nibiru, but what's going on, what's the most important things to watch. You just have to be careful of the people trying to mimic New Age movement stuff. There's a guy calls in there, and there's a lot he don't understand. He's following some funky people. David Wilcock and Corey Good and stuff. But other than that, you know, there's a lot of good information. People calling in from all over the world. But
people tell me something about somebody following quirky stuff, I automatically go check them out, because often the people who say that turn out to be quirky. So
yeah, I mean, you just use your own discernment, because, I mean, I know the message of Scripture and the extra-biblical text they kept us from seeing give the solid information. All I'm doing is checking it back to Scripture and checking it with the regular 66 and the book of Enoch and the book of Jasher. But the Coburn Bible is a historical record of this so-called planetary system and the cause and effect historical record. Plus, there's a Nibiru disc from Cossacks, Germany, 3,600 years ago. The message in that, the scriptural message, will be an understanding. They do have a sun simulator up there, but they won't be able to keep the moon from turning red and staying red. And before that system is seen, if that simulator is going to fail, you know, they'll have martial law all over the country. I'm suspecting if it's this year, it'll be sometime in October, possibly before, but sometime in October. And people are going to need to be in an area where they can be, like where you're at, Dave, in Missouri. There's people to connect, Nut Butters, East Wind Nut Butters in Tecumseh, Missouri, that'll take on people. All you have to do is work 36 hours a week to help with their, they've been in, checked out, they've been there since the 1980s, but to get to a location like that before martial law, before you see a lot of those car hauling rail cars all over the train storage yards that they're going to use to haul people to FEMA camps in and everything else, and processing centers will be piling in maybe before the martial law. And to make a long story short, you know, that, like I said, R. Wayne Stryger on YouTube's got some good information. There's a video that he has put out recently, and it's title of it is The Arrival of the Crossing, I think, is enough to type in and find R. Wayne Stryger's video. But there's a guy named Tim Foster, 405, that's discerning a lot of people's prophetic messages. And the latest video explains the thief in the night and the process of why Yeshua said, "Woe to those women that have children and give suck," and what that really details, the taking of the innocents before the sixth seal, probably judgment. The men are retarded, and the start of the changing of the bride, that will probably be a three-part process with the changing of the bride. And the takings away in Scripture are just like it mimics in the Hebrew wedding and the harvest, barley, wheat, and grape, which is your martyrism. So that's show and seal 3, 4, 5, and then 6, the 3 days of darkness. I don't think they're going to be able to keep that sun simulator up, but if they do, the moon will turn red and stay red, and that'll be the sixth seal when that eventually happens, and that'll be pretty hard to miss all the demons coming out of the pit and the locusts when that goes down.
So I've got to
ask, that point.
This is entirely new to me. You're saying they have a simulator of the sun up there.
They've got like a big, gigantic, and they could have a series of them. There's patents to it. You can go to a Plain Truth or ODD TV on YouTube, European Space Agency from the 70s. They probably got a series of them up there. There's another site on YouTube.
The Russian reflective satellites that they put up, they were intended to keep it daylight during the night.
Yeah, it's an array of lenses and stuff, and it's been uncovered through Universal News Media, and they even threatened to shut that lady down from taking any more videos, but her videos are still up under Universal News Media. She's uncloaking that system. There's many, many, many resources at this point until they shut the net down, but to make a long story short, it's like putting a big flashlight in front of you. You can't see what's behind it. And,
right.
You know, it's an effect of hiding this to keep the public from panicking, moving off the coast and quitting their jobs. But 2 months or so before, as amateur astronomers...
Chemtrails are about cloud up the sky so you can't see what's going on.
Well, there's a multiple things that the chemtrails are putting nanotechnology and all kinds of stuff, and then heavy metals and aluminum and stuff, and it's feeding those fires. They got directed energy weapons causing these fires even last year and this year, a lot of them in California. And there's word that the red fire retardant actually has the opposite effect of what it says it's doing on the California fires at certain places. It's got aluminum oxide and stuff in it and a lot of stuff. It's Agenda 2020 and 2030 stuff that's going on to keep people out of the countries and get them into the cities more controllable. Goes along with the Georgia Guidestones and... StopTheCrime.net's got the information of the 1954 Bilderberg meeting and the NASA war document and the report from Iron Mountain. If you read those documents, it shows you, and you can see all what they've accomplished that they've started putting in place since 1954 and where they're at this point. And it's basically at the directed energy weapons and stuff. They're having all this politics and stuff and distraction and Republican and Democrat and all this crap and all the pedophile stuff using as a distraction. But at some point, you know, people will be able to look up and see what's going on. You know, there's people that's had open visions that the troops are fighting a war, and all of a sudden they look up and they just throw their weapons down and go home. And that'll be tied into... probably Nibiru system, but also probably the alien demon war that'll transpire right at the height of that World War III. But the main things to watch for is the moon turning red and staying red, and you know, keeping an eye on things on the internet about. I've got the majority of the stuff to get a synopsis of what to keep an eye on and how to match it to scripture within my PDF files on Facebook.
The moon's going to turn red. It's not going to be an eclipse doing it.
No, it'll stay red from the iron oxide from that system. At a certain point, that iron oxide will fall out of the sky like the Bible says blood. It's basically going to be, it could be blood, but it could also more than likely be iron oxide dust just falling out of the sky that you don't want on your skin. You know, at some point, if you've gotten to Missouri and you're able to get to the mid-Missouri area and be near a cave, after the most important part is having the Holy Spirit, it's only going to be survivable if you can get inside a cave. But, at some point in time, before the 3 days of darkness, the Holy Spirit will pour out. But during the 3 days of darkness will be basically the end of the age of grace and coming to Yeshua. He'll come to every home during that 3 days of darkness when the sixth seal pit opens up. And then after that, it's Katie bar the door. You know, once he takes his restrainer fully off of here, there'll just be the grapes being martyred for not taking the mark. But there will be, and there's visions about it and scriptures about it, there will be Goshen communities, cities of light that people will be able to get to even after the fact and what it looks like also. It's just so much to be aware of. I'm just trying to simplify it with the information I put on my YouTube site under Joseph O. Reynolds with a big red J. It's capital J, capital O, capital R. You got to go to videos, but also under my PDF files on Facebook under Joel Reynolds, Moorhead, Kentucky. If you can get there and find it, you just about have to.
I can't get the Facebook. I'm sure.
Yeah, you have to message. Yeah, the people that can might have to message me or call me, and there's so much. There's so much hacking going on that, you know, I try to put on my YouTube channel so people can find it under Joseph O. Reynolds under videos. The homepage will say there's no content, but if you click on the videos, you know, that. But that's pretty much the synopsis of it, you know. It's just to be observed, and I've got some sites I mirror videos. I don't make videos, and you can elaborate on that after you go to those places and sub to those people. But Mike 444 and Tim Foster 405, prophetic messages coming from them that I'm watching, and Natalie D is putting out a lady that's passed away from a long time ago, I think in Germany, Bertha Dude, prophetic messages, and they're all seeming to match, and these visions are all seeming to match, and these people don't know each other, you know, so it's a lot to work on, but if you got plenty of time, you can check it out, and you can be able to have an idea of what to kind of keep an eye out for. And know that I've pretty much matched all this stuff to Scripture as a watchman. And I'm just trying to convey this message so people can be aware of what to watch for. Because the majority of the population of the world does not understand this is going down. And they're led into the distraction and diversions of this stuff. You know, I put out prophetic messages and prayer warfare strategies from Sherem Ben Yeshua, and you can go to their site, and it kind of matches in with this stuff, too. There's a latest one from July 22nd, prophetic messages from Sherem Ben Yeshua. That's S-H-O-M-R-I-M, Ben, B-E-N, Yeshua, Y-H-S-H-U-A. And he don't put out a lot of videos, but he does prophetic message and prayer warfare strategies from a lot of people. He puts out a couple a month. And there's a lot of supernatural protection from what I'm seeing in this process. There's going to be a lot of supernatural protection. But basically, this is a process going on right now that a lot of this is already going on, and it'll continue to ramp up. The main word is there's going to be a great awakening from people that have been distracted by their televisions and their iPhones, and there's going to be an awakening to a lot of people that don't understand that this is going down. We're not too far off from that. Are you still with me? Okay.
Yeah, I'm here, just listening away.
Yeah, that's it, man. I mean, that's pretty much a synopsis of it, you know. You know, I sent you the information. You can find my YouTube and elaborate on that, but anybody else that hears it, they can.
Yeah, I really wasn't sure what to make of the videos that you had up there.
Yeah, it's just showing prophetic messages to be aware of. Did you watch the three videos? See, America is going to be destroyed. It's set up. It's going to be ambushed at some point in time. And the government's already got all this planned out.
And one was talking about, I forget what it was talking about, the definition of a word.
Yeah, America's Ephraim, and, you know, Europe is Manassas. But there's a lot of solid evidence on this, and there's a lot of people that's come out of the left hand that knows that they've already stored and training Chinese and Russian troops, and this is all set up to be happening. You know, and you got the stuff written on the money, New York being nuked and Hoover Dam and, you know, and the prophetic words on that, but we already have first-hand knowledge of that being in the plans and the only things on the money that hadn't happened. They're going to wait. They're going to use the weather for a cover, and they've been using it for war in a lot of countries. When this goes down to a certain point, there's going to be, which has already happened recently in China and sometime back in China and other places, 200-mile-an-hour straight-line winds. And those fire tornadoes has actually been 200-mile-an-hour winds that they've been brewing up. But, you know, it's a lot to be understood. I've been studying this for 14 years, you know, and there's way too much to take in and understand all the confirmations behind it. It's just the most important thing is to have the Holy Spirit and pray for the Most High to show you what He wants to show you individually. Because at some point in time, there's going to be a great revival in this and a lot of supernatural protection. And I'm trying to just put on my videos what's most important to keep an eye on and be aware of after receiving the Holy Spirit, and for people to see this stuff transpire and where it's being put out, what I've been approving and putting out, that if they don't have the Holy Spirit, to see the importance to come to the Holy Spirit, that that's going to be the only thing that's going to save their butt. It's the advent of the end of evil coming, and it's foretold. And like I said, the Koban Bible, the first six chapters, is basically a historical record.
Can I hear a ding?
Yeah.
Kano, is
Hello,
that you?
And welcome to the DD&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com.
We have a guest. We have a guest. Joseph's on the line.
Yo, yo. Hey, Joe.
Hey, who's this?
This is Kano.
Who?
Oh, Kano, yeah. Everything I've expressed, you can listen to on the re-upload of the podcast, I guess. You know, I'm pretty much explained everything that, you know, how to find my site on YouTube, Kano, and get the PDF files and my Facebook and then YouTube under Joseph O. Reynolds. I sent that to you in a message, an instant message,
we'll
and you
can find a link on the website.
Yeah,
yeah,
I can run
a
link.
Yeah.
You can transfer that link to your website under. It's the one I sent you is, I think, takes you right straight to the videos under my YouTube. You can go ahead and just post that link.
Right on.
But,
I apologize. I haven't been. I didn't get a chance to get on there and check that message and follow the link to the YouTube or anything. I've been crazy busy.
Okay, you can check it out. It's there, and anybody that can go to Joe Reynolds with no picture from Moria, Kentucky, can maybe find the PDF files. I put recent posts, and I'm really, other than the prophetic words and scripture, in some things, I'm trying to put real-time information of weather that coincides with that.
Have you ever watched a YouTube channel called Suspicious Observer?
I unsubbed them a long time ago.
They've done a good job of earthquake prediction now.
Yeah, they kicked off Dutch Sense. Dutch Sense has got a patron site or another site, and he's been doing the best work on that and predicting where the big quakes are going to hit before they hit, and they kicked him off YouTube, or he left YouTube before the fact. Dutch
Sense.
Yeah,
anybody who gets kicked off of YouTube is probably somebody you should listen to.
Yeah, except for Alex Jones.
I
don't follow him. And then if they're
I'd
in the mainstream,
follow him I'd follow him before I would follow a lot of the other radical podcasters.
Well, the thing about Alex Jones is he's mainstream, and a lot of the mainstream have already had to give their obedience to the Luciferian organizations, and he's probably just biding his time to get to his bunker, and it's probably all staged. It's called controlled opposition.
Yeah, but he did videos on the giant owl.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. You know, I understood a long time ago. I quit following Alex Jones and some of those people. And a lot of the people I'm sub to, over 200 or 300, I just watched the title. And I'm just trying to put out the most important top information that I've been discerning through.
Alex Jones in there with Rush Limbaugh.
I think Alex is a lot better than people like Rush.
Yeah, I don't know about Rush, but you know that, what's his name that started the Coast to Coast, passed away here recently? Yeah, he passed away recently.
That's too bad. He's the only one who gave Coast to Coast any life.
Yeah, George Norrie, I can tell George Norrie is, he's following along with the plan that they want him to throw out, and a lot of New Age stuff. Art Bell was going to probably divulge some information, or they didn't want to take a chance on him divulging any information, because the most important message that was conveyed was a frantic call a long time ago into his place, and he died from a lot of overdose, a lot of mixing of pain medicines and Valiums and stuff, and chances are that that wasn't an accidental death or suicide. But
Art
the
Bell.
Most important message, yeah, Art Bell, and the most important message is that guy called in from Area 51 said about the aliens and about how they're going to destroy all the major city populations, take them out. That's going to go down. That's going to happen, and you know, they don't want that message out. So that's probably why they didn't want to take a chance on him conveying the importance of that message in any way, shape, form, because
his program was
they don't want people to leave the cities because they want people to go to the cities. So they're not going to tell people what disasters lie ahead for the city.
Yeah. Yeah, Agenda 2020, 21, 2030, and StopTheCrime.net and the NASA war document and all that explains it. And make a long story short, if you look at a near-death experience of a kid named Jeremy, you go on YouTube and he says his Mom, it's okay. When World War III happens, you'll already be in heaven, but what people got to be concerned about is the alien demon war that happens in the middle of World War III. I would say at that point the restrainer will be already taken off of the earth sometime about the time World War III breaks out, and you know, 3 days of darkness coinciding, the moon staying red at some point.
Darkness imprisoned in me. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fixing to go down. The history of that system is seen in December of a year, and then the effects of it are in April of a year. And this looks like it's very well going to be the year. They'll just have to see the signs. The signs will be more than obvious. You just have to look at the real things that you can go outside and look and see and know what's going on. It will dictate, you know, that it'll take the guesswork out of it. But they will have martial law a couple of months before that's able to be done. So I'm saying keep an eye on the railroad yards and look out for a massive amount of those car hauling top trailers they converted into people haulers to staging processing stations. They'll be pulling them in when you start seeing troops everywhere. Yeah, I mean, all these signs will be obvious. it won't be no guesswork to it.
Well, it won't be obvious to the ignorant.
Oh, the shaking that happens, Cato, it'll start getting obvious to them. Something's going down.
Yeah, but by then it'll be too late for them.
Yeah,
well, yeah,
it will be.
It's obvious when you have to take a shopping cart of notes to the grocery store to bring home one loaf of bread. When it's more cost effective to burn the money than it is to buy coal.
Yep. Yeah, it's just a process we're going to need to go through for it to be the end of evil, you know. And, you know, if a person gets to the point, and they live to the point where they have to go through a processing center and refuse the mark, you know, that'll be their salvation. And they might not have been able to acquire to it any other way but to be martyred, to go through the guillotine line. But the importance of having the Holy Spirit right now is vital, because this is going to be a thousand times worse than people can ever imagine. And then when the Great Tribulation kicks off, and it's looking like something's going to happen to Trump, Obama will show back up, and then something will probably happen to him, and Prince William will fall in place there. He owns the Mark of the Beast and the Obama, you know, Obamacare, tied to a company with the first letter of S. I'm not sure what it, but he owns it. So, I mean, there's a lot to watch out for, you know. But Trump gets taken out, Obama shows back up. Obama could be taken out. I think he's the false Antichrist. They changed his name to mean lightning falling from heaven. I'm very skeptical, but somebody will show up if it gets to that point and take Obama's place. You know, and basically the person that shows up with the answers is not going to be Christ. It's going to be the false Christ. Christ plainly said he was the last one to show up. You know, when he comes back to set things straight. But the day of the Lord is a lot different than the return of Christ. The day of the Lord happens before, you know, and his judgments, when it gets to the point of the sixth seal, that will be so obvious. 3 days of darkness and demons flying around. People better be in their homes if the wind is covered. Because that'll probably be the last time the chance to come to Yeshua during that 3 days of darkness. Well, you better not go outside, no matter what you hear knocking on your door, and not let nobody see.
I don't think walls, doors, and windows are going to protect you from demons.
No, the Holy Spirit will. You just don't want they're drawn to light, and you don't want them to see your candlelight or anything from inside. You know, that's going to be...
Wait a minute. They teach us this little hymn when we're kids. Let your light shine. Don't hide it under a candle.
There's many people having the visions about the 3 days of darkness and have had for years. And the warning is to cover your windows and stay inside, because that's the point that the Holy Spirit's going to do probably the final changing of the bride and giving the wheat a chance to repent and coming to all the homes. You know, he can be omnipresent. The adversary can't be, but Yeshua can come everywhere at one time. He can be omnipresent. So that's the warning that everybody is given that's having the visions about the 3 days of darkness. It's just information to be aware of.
So the warnings are in visions. There's no documents like
the Bible.
Well,
there's history on it. There's history and scripture and all kinds of stuff. You do as a search is on the 3 days of darkness. It's a big, nice study. I've got a lot of that information on my videos, but you know, it's been many people. You can just search 3 days of darkness, and there's a lot of people having the same vision and don't know each other, and that's the warning they put out. That's going to be the close of the age of grace and salvation. The last chance that people live to experience that. And what I see happening before that will be there's going to be a shaking. There's going to be a worldwide earthquake. There's going to be a bunch of them, but then there's going to be a big one. And be time to get home. And, you know, that's kind of the messages that I have on my videos, if you do enough, watch enough of them. You know, the moon will turn red and it'll stay red. And that's scriptural. You know, they've got a sun simulator up there, and that'll probably fail at some point. That's pretty much proven and documented.
The way those things work, they're reflecting the sun. So
no, it's a big flashlight in front of the sun. It's probably a series of them. It's a European Age Space Agency patents you can see from the 70s.
The Russian ones were reflectors. They were going to turn the night into day using mirrors.
Yeah, it's a series of reflectors, lens arrays, and lights.
Yeah, I don't think man can make a light that rivals the sun.
Well, this is not rivaling the sun. This is in front of it. It's documented. It might be hard to believe, but it's been uncovered and uncloaked. Go to Universal News Media. Go to WSO. Go to this one site that don't put a lot of videos out. That I'm trying to think of. Soul Evolution. Go to Soul Evolution, and you can elaborate from there. It's proven.
Yeah, and as far as it's impossible, but I just don't see it as being very likely. I mean,
yeah, it's but it is. I promise you, it is. I know it sounds out there, but it's true.
So I got a question.
Go ahead.
I have an ex-girlfriend who said something about holograms or holographic images in the sky to convince people that Christ has come when it's not really Christ. What do you know about that?
Yeah, that's Project Bluebeam. Yeah, they've been playing with that for a long time. See those cities over China and a lot of, yeah, a person really have to have the Holy Spirit to discern this, but there's going to be a false alien invasion. It's going to be real and it's going to be blue beamed. They're going to use fear as a tactic. Expect, don't believe anything. Trust, pray to the Holy Spirit to show you.
You said false alien invasion.
Yeah, they can make it look like something physical. It's even to the point to where they use nanomatter in the sky where it is actually somewhat physical. They got the technology.
So the aliens that people are speaking of, you believe them to not be real. It's all a bunch of hokey pokey that is made up, and it's not going to be a real alien invasion. It's going to be a fake one.
No, I'm not saying that. There's Anunnaki that Russia's been fighting for a long time. And they move in and out of portals. They stole a bunch of their gold. There is real fallen angels that have been put into made-up bodies that are covered and even can be made to look like human beings. It's so out there, it's not funny. But they can also falsify that. There is a various amount of groups of so-called fallen angel type cyborgs. I mean, it goes into, they've been able to clone people since the late 30s and 40s, and they got more than one or two different kinds of clones.
So the Anunnaki are the fallen angels, or they're aliens, or both?
There's no such thing as aliens from another planet. We live on a flat plain with a dome around it. They've never left. They're all just playing a game on people, thinking that there is a way to get out of here and escape judgment and go to another planet. The
well,
Book of
even
Enoch,
if we could go to another planet, there's still no way to escape judgment.
Exactly. It's all a charade. Most of it is a charade, but a lot of that's real. The dog men, the Bigfoots are associated with orbs. They're interdimensional. These are interdimensional beings. They're not aliens okay. from another planet.
Okay.
You can even look at the forest fires. If you go look at the videos of the forest fires in California, you know, when these people have these sacrifices and they have these conjurings, they have to use fire and smoke to those things to materialize. You can see in the flames of those fires a lot of times so-called gray alien-looking faces and demon faces in them. I mean, this is the spiritual meshing into the natural. And basically, at the sixth seal, they're going to be fully materialized. But they're kept right now from because of the restrainer on Earth. They can't hold their form, but they've been able to come into people's bodies and possess them. And these people in government and mainstream news and mainstream television and mainstream Hollywood, people are going to be blown away. It's literally be the fact that men's hearts failing. When these things that have already killed these people and cloned and inhabited the clone bodies of them, when they show their faces, people are going to just drop from seeing that. If they don't have the spirit.
Drop, you mean like faint, pass out?
Die, heart attack, stroke out. I mean, men's hearts failing them for seeing what's coming on the earth. Is such a wide variety of things seen in the sky and around them. And instead of just guessing about demons and seeing them flying all over the place, which will start at the 3 days of darkness when the opening of the pit. By that time, the believers probably, at the most part, done been took off this planet. And you'll just be what the scripture says about all them arrayed in white clothing and bowing at the throne when will their blood be avenged. And he says, you know, wait a short time. That's more martyrs being killed by the thousands of guillotines they already have in place. They just ordered thousands of blades from Mexico. They just ordered FEMA. They just ordered a bunch of smart guillotines on top of the Chanel ones. They just ordered 2,500 gallon or something like that of hydrogen cyanide marked potable water from Brazil. There's a lot. There's a lot going down as we speak, and has gone down.
I'm sure there's a lot of stuff going on that we don't know about that'll blow our minds if we found out about it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure how much of it is real and how much of it isn't. But, yeah, it's crazy.
It'll take spiritual
what's going
fitness.
On behind our backs.
It takes spiritual fitness to discern this stuff and not have to cause anger, fear, anxiety, or, you know, emotions. But,
yeah,
you know,
I used to get emotional about it. It used to really mess with me. But I was still kind of new to a lot of it, too. You know, it's like for a long time, I couldn't fathom that our own government would, you know, blow up buildings and kill people on our own soil and blame it on somebody else. And I couldn't believe that was even possible. But I do now. But I couldn't wrap my head around it before.
It's hard
it
for
me.
It's mind. So much stranger than any fiction. I call myself Watchman 552 for a number I had in school, back in military school in the seventh grade. But that number's been showing up everywhere that I've been doing this search from 09. And there was 52 countries that signed the Antarctica Treaty in 1959, the year I was born. When building number 7 went down, and they were advertising on the news that it went down and it was still standing, it was went down at 5:20 p.m. This number 52 or 5:20 has been showing up massively on this journey, showing that the Most High is saying, I knew you'd be here researching this. You know, you know, it's kind of like a message of confirmation. You know, the video will be 5 minutes and 20 seconds. I mean, it's just, it would blow me away if I hadn't walked through this and understood what that was about. It just shows up so much. A verse I'll read will be chapter 5, verse 20, you know, or chapter 52, or verse 52, you know, that's a confirmation in what I might be looking at. You know, and it's so much stranger than any fiction that it's ever been portrayed. It's totally understandable that the majority of the people on this planet have no concept of believing or understanding that at all. You know, until a certain amount of stuff goes down before the sixth seal even.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, see, I've been awake for years, but not like awake. You know, when I was a kid. I'm not really a kid, more like a young adult. I was already waking up at that point, but it took until I was in my late 20s before I really, you know, started waking up all the way. And I'm probably still not all the way awake, but, you know.
None of us
are. My late 20s is whenever, I guess you could say, I took the blue pill in the late 20s. But my early 20s, I was already starting to get it. I was starting to understand. My late teens, early 20s, I was putting it together.
Yeah, it takes the process of whoever is called, you know, and chosen and choose to research that.
Yeah, people.
Look into the spiritual.
Yeah, people aren't going to get it overnight. It takes time to wrap your mind around it because it's been going on for centuries.
Yeah. I mean, the last stages started in 1954. The information's on StopTheCrime.net with the NASA war document and report from Iron Mountain. It's obvious when you read that. The directed energy weapons they're using in California last year and this year. Right now, as we speak, people are being forced into FEMA camps in California.
And they
not
have,
to be heard
yeah.
from. People were taken in Texas. People were taken during Katrina. It was all practicing of the state of the major event. They've been practicing this. They've got it all set up. They're building processing centers. They're building these mini malls with towers in them that can be converted real easy. It's all been set up, and they're continually, but they're all got a majority of it already set up.
Right.
You know, it's all in scripture.
I've seen videos of these super cities on YouTube that are vacant, but they're like designed to hold like massive amounts of people, and there's nobody there.
Yeah, they've got that set up. This Parker solar probe that got launched today, I'm seeing this Parker solar probe that's supposedly going to go to the sun and dive into it. I'm seeing that probably to be something that they're going to be able to try to use to replace the sun simulator if it fails. But they're not going to trick the Most High. If he wants this stuff to fail at a certain point, it's all going to fail.
Right.
But then when you study the scriptures and you look at the evidence and you see the things they take you away from, it's chances are we don't live on a spinning ball flying through space that, you know, there's a firmament out there beyond Antarctica, and that's why you're not allowed to go, because it proves that the scripture and God is true. But, you know, at this point or at a certain point in the future, whether the earth is flat or a ball, really won't make a whole lot of concern or difference. Those are things that we can experience and understand with Yeshua and be able to inhabit this earth made new, unabated from, you know, the things that we're kept from at this point. They're just doing all that, destroying all the giant bones and everything, because it proves that God is real and He's the only salvation is in Yeshua and Jesus, you know, and you know, it's all the rest of it is just a lie, you know, that, and it's the same plan that's going on that's never changed. There was an age before the Garden of Eden, but the thing at the Garden of Eden was the corruption of the genetics of God's creation and trying to claim it for theirself and saying that you can become as God and you surely won't die. And, you know, there's your transhumanism, and that's the game plan has never changed. Any conspiracy has branched off of that very fact. And it just got into an array of processes to take as many people to hell as possible, to drag as many people to the lake of fire through whatever lies and enticements and false rewards and everything else, you know. But if you keep that in mind, you can see what's been going on. Like I say, those documents from the NASA war document, it's a war on us, and report from Iron Mountain, it just pretty much confirms that, you know. Agenda 21, 2020, and 2030, you know, is about corrupting God's DNA and His children's DNA. And, you know, at the garden at that point, you know, it Satan was the Nakash. The extra-biblical scriptures and the deep studies into scriptures show that Cain looked like a reptilian. His father was the Nakash, a reptile, Satan, a serpent. You know, Cain and Abel were born, and you say that real close together, Cain and Abel.
His wife was unfaithful to her husband from the very start.
Yeah, she had twins, and she had twins from two different fathers. And,
basically, what they're saying is what people have said is that forbidden fruit was that Eve basically had sexual relations with Lucifer and bore his child.
Yeah, and she had sex with Adam and bore Habel. His name was Habel. It meant the lamentation.
Right.
You know, the words
Cain killed Abel.
Yeah, the words came down. You know, there's if you know the definitions, if you use the definitions of the words and take it back to the Hebrew definitions, it explains it. When Tubal-Cain and Lamech, when they shot Cain, they thought he was an animal because he had an animalistic look. He shot him and killed him. You know, and you know, it's just using the definitions to the words and taking it back to Hebrew and using well-educated, looking at with discernment, the Strong's definitions. You know, it tells what it is. Then you can go back to the stories and see which stories are correct and which ones are there for a diversion. The Apocalypse of Thomas is a short book. It tells you the effects of the things that are going to happen. The Gospel of Thomas Unlocked, and if you take your time and read between the parentheses, it shows that all the people in power would change the history and take claim for it. And, you know, and you know, the Apocalypse of Peter and the Apocalypse of Paul. It shows the processes in the Apocalypse of Paul, the pious and non-pious soul passing from this life, and how they're judged. there's a lot of higher understandings in the scripture, and you can take them back to the Revelation. Apocalypse of Thomas explains pretty much what it's telling you in Revelation. It just gives you more detail. They didn't want people to know that, so they took it down to 66 books from 81 at one point when the King James came out.
There's more than that. Before the Council of Nicaea, there were thousands of books.
Yeah, there's thousands. That's what I was going to say. There were thousands of books, but most of those are going to be hidden under the Vatican. We'll never get to see.
Oh, yeah, right.
But it tells on them.
We wouldn't have time to read them anyway.
No, at this point we wouldn't, but it tells on them. And the Book of Enoch is enough. The Book of Jasher, you know, the Fourth of Cedrus and Barak. And Apocalypse of Thomas.
Is one of the books that Christ was quoting. Apparently a scripture. But, you know, people point out, you know, not every book is in the Bible. And the proof is there's references to the Book of Jasher. Where's the Book of Jasher? Where's these other things? And then Christ quoted some scriptures. He didn't say which scripture he quoted. He just said they were scripture. And lo and behold, you read the Book of Enoch, and that's what he was quoting.
He was quoting out of the Book of Enoch. Yeah, correct. Exactly
right,
correct.
So if Christ was reading out of the Book of Enoch and quoting from it, we should be doing the same.
Oh, yeah, and I've been studying them over and over and meticulously going through different books, and I found a Book of Jasher that had a misquote in it about Enoch dying, but there's different translations you got to be careful of some of these books. But Nine Nana does a lot of deep studies, and there's some things I don't think she's much right about, but there's some things that she is right about, and the Tree of Knowledge of Good and Evil is basically saying, in one sense, a false cloaking, where the fallen, twice dead, have a false cloaking, covering. And that's the Pleiadians. And the Pleiadians don't acknowledge Christ as being anything other than like a prophet, you know, and that gives them away. But those are real so-called interdimensionals, which people call aliens. You know, and there's only one interdimensional other than regular angels. In the Bible, it says, I have sheep not of this fold. If you read the second revelation of John, the lost revelation of John, it says, I have sheep not of this fold, but due to their perfect living, they became as angels. But it doesn't mean to contact those, but they're probably out there warring on our side, fighting those things below us and above us to this day.
Right.
It's just, man, the Holy Spirit's the main thing, and being living holy as He's holy, and drawing into Him and renewing our mind in these scriptures and prayer, and being able to have forgiveness for anybody that's hurt us, and even be willing to forgive the worst of the worst, and understand that the Most High is going to be the one taking care of that, the judgment. He's got our back.
You on the road, Kano?
I'm at China Mart.
Okay, we heard your navigation speaking.
It's the self-checkout thingy.
Ah.
Because they don't believe in real people working. They believe in having computers do our job.
Right on.
Yep. Terminator days are coming. There really is a Skynet. There is a company called Skynet. Yep. They throw that in the movies to show you, so you'll think that that's just science fiction.
They
show you in plain sight.
Or to make it look cool.
Yeah. Yeah, to make it look inviting. So you'll take on that chip, transhumanism. They've already done research on these RFID chips causing cancer in animals. And the original plan of the left hand of this chip was it actually can protect the elite from the microwave energy and all the directed energy and all the stuff they use, voice-to-skull technology and everything. But the people that take it, it won't be wired that way. It'll be wired just the opposite, you know. And from what I'm seeing, to the most part, if the person doesn't have the Holy Spirit, they won't have any defense against that. And they've got more than one way to change your DNA to 3-strand, 66 chromosome DNA with all the nanotechnology they got in people's bodies and all the high advanced stuff, technology they have. You know, it's only having the Holy Spirit at some point, you know, and especially after the 3 days of darkness, the change of pride, you know, it's going to be a zombie apocalypse, all right. It's both. You're going to kill guns and help. At some point,
yeah,
they'll be useless.
I'm rooting for the zombies.
Yeah, I ain't. I don't want to be here when that goes down because it ain't going to be.
Tanner just wants to
get that.
I hope we're all home
Lake,
by then.
I got that from Lake Placid when she goes, I'm rooting for the alligators.
Yeah, it's going to be a million times worse than we can imagine. You know, and I just really have a broken heart for people that refuse the Most High. And the message in this, the main message is that there really is a heaven, and you really can go to hell, but there really is a heaven, that this life is just a trial stage area to choose the right place to get back home. More than likely than not, we were angels that were sent here against our will, or we were part of the fallen, and we were put into forgetfulness in our mother's womb. And this journey is to make the right choice to get back home. And the Most High knows who's going to come to him. He knows who isn't. And us believers can look back and see how we were protected throughout our life to experience these events. We're fixing to witness the greatest time in history. We are witnessing, but when we get more increase, we were purposed to witness these events, and it's basically the end of control and evil, you know. But it's a process that's necessary. But that Colburn Bible's a pretty good record to check out on the history of that. They documented that, you know, of that part of this. And I'm claiming they're wandering stars like the Book of Enoch, and they're principalities and powers. They're not planets. But, you know.
Now, Enoch, was the Book of Enoch written by Enoch, the son of Cain?
No, that's the bad Enoch. It's Enoch,
no,
the son of Seth,
other...
the seventh from Adam. See, there's the first book of Enoch, and there's the second book of Enoch, and then there's a third one that calls him Metatron. I'm only catering to the first book of Enoch, the R.H. Charles. They found that in Ethiopia. We weren't meant to see that. There's a lot of other books of Enoch and a lot of other books of Brock or Cedras that were kept from us, but, you know, it's shows in other of these books that Enoch and Elijah are going to be the two witnesses.
Okay, so Enoch was who?
He was the seventh from Adam, son of Seth.
Seventh?
The grandfather
okay.
of Noah.
Okay, so he was a descendant of Seth, who's a descendant of Adam.
Yeah, the grandfather of Noah.
They're both descendants of Adam, but...
Huh?
I'm sorry?
they'd both be descendants of Adam.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I was, the way he first said it, I thought he said the seventh son of Adam.
Yeah, he's the seventh from Adam.
Seventh from, but not the seventh son.
Yeah, yeah, and you just have to go back and check. That's why the lineages are in the Bible in different places. You know, you
was
got...
was he the seventh son of the seventh son?
I guess. But, you know, him and Elijah were taken before they passed. And more likely than not, they'll be the two witnesses that'll show up about the time the Antichrist shows up for 3.5 years. Yeah, but the key to this is that we're in this age, as it says in Genesis, appointed man 120 years. Well, after so many generations, it was basically lifespan went to 120 years. But that also means that, you know, there's higher and lower teachings, and that 120 Jubilee.
Pastor was talking about, I can tell you right now, he was talking about 120 years until the flood was coming.
Yeah, there was 120 years for the flood, but it said appointed man. It says
talking about, then that falsifies the scripture in the first place, because there's people documenting the Bible living more than 120 years after that point.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the esoteric meaning to it, saying I appointed man 120 years from that point in the Garden of Eden story. That was 6,000 years. 120 jubilees is 6,000 years, and we're in the 120th jubilee, the jubilee of that 6,000 years. That does not mean the earth is 6,000 years old. There was an age before the story of the Garden of Eden, and there's no telling how many thousands of years that went down. But Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God creates everything perfectly. Well, in the second verse, Genesis 1, 2, it does not mean the world came as void, form without void. It meant it came to a desolate destruction. And that was because of the fallen angels and all the stuff that was going on. It was the first reboot of the earth. And then
okay.
Garden of Eden story starts. Adam, you read some of these other books, the Gospel of the Gospel of Bartholomew and some other books show that Adam was 120 feet tall, 90 to 120 feet tall. It's even in the Quran that he was 80 cubits, you know, so that's 90. But, you know, the size went down from that. And when Ron Wyatt found Noah in his wife's grave, you know, she was like 13 to 18 foot tall, and somebody desecrated her grave, and he didn't tell anybody anything else after that. The lifespan and the size gradually went down to a point of, you know, where the giants were only 36 feet from our 6 to 7 feet. You know, over because of the quality of oxygen dropped. You know, this planet was a tropical paradise, and that's where your oil and stuff and the mammoths with tropical foliage frozen in their mouth, you know, from the first reboot or the second reboot, you know. This is the third time's a charm reboot where it's all going to be not able to be come back into evil.
Okay, I got a question. You were talking about the Anunnaki, and you're talking about the Garden of Eden and the time before the Garden of Eden, before Adam. Now, and you was talking about how, you know, like the first part of the Bible or Genesis, Bible talks about how God created the heavens and the earth and blah, blah, blah. And then there's the part in the Bible where it says, let us create man in our image. Do you believe that God created us and then the Anunnaki came and recreated us?
I think it's a twofold story. I think that that the Elohim could have very well represented left or right hand. It's just something that we can't prove, but I'm not going with the theory that the fallen angels created us.
No, recreated us.
But they try to say that. They try to say that the Anunnaki try to say they created us. I think what they did is they took DNA from Neanderthals and something else to make a worker. But there was also, at a certain point...
Exactly what the Sumerian texts say.
Yeah, and that's different than Adam and Eve.
Okay, so you think that the recreation was not Adam and Eve, it was somebody else or something else.
Yeah, yeah, I think Adam and Eve's genuine from God creating it, but... You know, it's colluded stories, but you go to Easter Island, and there was a place there at the Adam's clock, you know, and they're going to try to copy everything God's did, this giant footprint up there that they chiseled out. But there's artifacts John Perkins has made out of lidite that we don't have the technology to cut. You can look it up under ancient technology, or Klaus Dana, the artifacts found, and it's all included where they have. But anyway, there's a lot of documentation, a lot of artifacts, and I'm thinking that they got their mixture right when they used Mari clay or something. There's an ancient disc called the genetic disc in the artifacts that shows things and male and female and humans and sperm being made to where it makes a baby. It's called the disc, and it shows, you know, how they pretty much made that short alien cyborg, but it shows where they were messing with genetics, and it's good information to look up the videos of ancient technology, and there's an awesome video called Ancient Knowledge, a 7-hour video, but the Klaus Dana artifacts are all to be seen there. And a lot of that dictates a lot of the stuff, I think, that went on before the Garden of Eden story, that the Most High shut down in the second verse of the first chapter of Genesis. But they even found things under the Romanian mountains, alien bases for giants video. And they had high technology, and this is probably before the garden stuff too, but it also went in past that because there was Nephilim on and after the flood. And they found giant tables. They found holographic technology that shows when you run your hand over it to have a human DNA and what would happen in results of mixing animals and fish and insects and birds. And at the very end of it, it explains on the alien base for giants in Romania, it shows the holographic film of Yeshua's sacrifice and crucifixion, and shows people that were there from different ages that were dressed in that garb, but they're from another time, looks like. I mean, when it says in the scriptures you'd be able to think to change times and laws, that goes deep. It's the laws of nature and possible time travel until God really shuts this down. There's a lot of documented artifacts to how gigantic these things were before the garden in the mountains and the shape of the mountains and fossilized, the age of disclosure shows you a lot of these mountains could have very well been gigantic mountain-sized beings that were fossilized. It shows you the Devil's Tower in different places were probably at that age before the garden, that these trees were so super gigantic and silicone-based that there's hexagonal shapes in them. Devil's Tower, they claim that it was pushed up from lava, you don't push up lava in perfect hexagonal shapes. The chances are that was a gigantic silicone-based tree. There's a lot of artifacts.
Silicon-based. Normal plants do that same pattern.
Yeah. Yeah, the hexagonal shapes. And they know all that, you know, and it's just to be observed. I'm sure there's a lot that the Lord will show us when we make it there that, you know, but if we make it home, we're probably going to be gigantic as to what this world would think gigantic is, you know. It's going to be amazing.
I thought Jesus said heaven was here and now.
He said the kingdom is here.
Heaven is at hand.
Yeah, the kingdom.
Here now. All we have to do is take hold of it and use it. Or not.
Yeah, but what it represents and the lack of limitation will not be understood until we're experiencing it. You just go by the massive amount of people's near-death experiences. Human words can't explain the color spectrum or the way of travel or the love, you know. That's clearly what the messages they bring back, that, you know, the hell is real and heaven, and no human words can explain what it's going to be like. You know, there's a limitation to this third dimension that's not limited there. You know, I think it's really meaning the access to the kingdom of heaven. You know, there's so much that we won't understand until we experience it. If that makes any sense. I mean, I know what I understand and what I've learned. I realize very little that I really know the more I learn, and that none of us, no matter how smart we get or are never going to have the whole picture. It takes everybody and be willing to listen and share, and we'll never understand it fully until we're there. If that makes any sense.
It makes sense. Our brains aren't big enough to understand the whole universe.
Yeah, it's beyond the scope of the human mind being able to understand, you know. When you check out all the near-death experiences, it's going to be awesome. And the more we try to be falling in line with the ways to live and have the mindset that the scriptures explain is the most important thing to know and understand. And being able to love people as the Most High loves us, and being able to just willing to touch their lives in the way that He would have us touch them, and you know, and being able to experience that with the mindset of, you know, that being small as a child of seven, being teachable by the worst of the worst. I've learned a lot of stuff from people that are trying to force an agenda and picking out the little true line that they use to force their agenda, and check out some of the things they confirm and leave all the rest there, you know. And, you know, it's being aware of the wiles of the adversary, that he wanted us to be able to understand that information to help save lives, you know. And it's, but the gospel is going to be well played out here and simplified when people are finally shook enough. It's going to take a lot, brothers. It's going to take a lot to wake up the dead world, the ones that survive. That's what I'm seeing. And just to be humble and meek and loving and understanding that if we have the Holy Spirit, that when we talk in our lives and our speech and our interactions with people, we're always continually praying on the Holy Spirit to put the words in our mouth, that not what our best thinking or our best learning, but what He would have it and how He would have it, if that makes any sense.
It makes sense.
I mean, it's just like, I don't have wisdom, great wisdom. I have experiences and have scripture and knowledge, and the wisdom is His. And if He chooses to pass it through our mouths to somebody, you know, and share it, you know, it's coming from Him, not from us. That, to me, is one of the great tools that the Holy Spirit uses. If a person gets to a point, I was humbled. I recognized my chastising and my tearing down the first 7 years after my divorce. And at some point, I said, well, have I been tore down enough? Can you build me up, you know? I continually pray for His protection and dispatchment of protection to people, you know, because that's the only power. The Holy Spirit, to me, is the only true power. It's not anything that we're doing, other than Him speaking through us, if that makes any sense. We wouldn't be here talking, man, if we hadn't had a lot of protection that we can't see into that spiritual. You know, it happens in the spiritual before it happens in the natural. You know. But He gives us insight into the spiritual, like the Apocalypse of Paul. That book was found, an angel finally had to whack a guy to get him to dig it up at the corner of a foundation of a building, and it had Paul's sandals in it. And he took it to one king, and it was lead sealed, and he wouldn't open it. And then he took it to another king, and he copied it and kept the original. And it explains in it that it could be a so-and-so from Dante's Comedy, but it could also very well be a genuine, and that shows you the processes that go through, because when you look at near-death experiences, the same thing is mimicked in Howard Pittman's near-death experience and his message that you know, that kind of thing went down is the way it's explained in that book to Howard Pittman. The most powerful thing I see that we got is our personal testimonies, you know, and our experiences and relating that to Scripture and the Holy Spirit for discernment. But, you know, I thought I knew everything, man. Right up until about the time my wife divorced me, I found out everything I knew was crap.
Yeah.
And I only had the Most High to reach out to, and He's carried me through a lot of things, you know, after I was ready to learn. You know. And it's just not about me. My best knowledge at that point was crap. I could have died in my sin so many times before that point, and I saw supernatural protection. When I look back on it, in many, many events, that it could only be supernatural protection that's carried me to this point. I wrecked a Harley-Davidson on a hairpin curve in a blackout, and I looked after the fact of that wreck. The bike went another 100 feet down the road. I went over a wall, and I went back and looked at that wall, and it's 60 or 70 feet down to the tracks when I flew over that wall. And I was walking up and 100 feet up there telling the police they run me off the road. They strapped me on a board. It was like an angel must have had his hands and caught me, because I shouldn't have lived through that. That's just one of many things. that happened to me. I mean, I don't even remember getting on my bike, driving around the liquor store. All I remember is the lights being turned on, and they said they called the ambulance before I even wrecked. It was crazy, man. A lot of experiences like that. So many people. I've had over 200 friends I know that's rotted their livers or kidneys or died or OD'd. And only a couple, three of them in prison. Most of them are dead. I just had a buddy that died on the 5th of August. And he basically was drinking a quart of vodka a day. He ruined his liver. There was no saving him. You know, and if you read Galatians 5, it tells you a big majority of the picture of who don't make it into the kingdom of heaven. You know, it says it in other places. But I see Matthew 24 and 25 be prevalent of what we're going to experience. You know, and all this other stuff is just basically confirming how Matthew 24 and 25 and playing out. But I pretty much unfolded everything out of my head.
It's
a lot.
We appreciate your time and efforts. We are approaching the end of our podcast here, too, so.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to try to be ready to head to Missouri if I'm able to, right before martial law. Try to get ready. My birthday's October the 13th. I'll be 59. I was born in 59. What I'm seeing in my spirit is that's a big sign. We're going to see a lot if it takes to October. I definitely keep you all in prayer for protection. Keep me in prayer that I can just be where I'm supposed to be and touch the lives I'm supposed to touch in the way I'm supposed to touch them. It's been a good show. I've wrapped off a lot of stuff, but I'm just letting the Holy Spirit speak through me and what He showed me. I look at what next I can be wrong about. You know, the values that I have been able to be grateful enough to acquire is to be willing to drop my agenda at any given second to do for anybody, to be willing, you know, not have wrong underlying motives, you know, not have an agenda. If that makes any sense.
Well,
love the people that rub us wrong, just like people we've met in Missouri, and forgive them and love them and pray for them. Not gossip. Try our best not to. You know, words are words. They don't stop when they come out of our mouth. That's sent into vibration and matter. You know, that's sent out there. So be aware of what we say and how we. I try to stay away from words like "he is" or, you know, "you are." You know, I just don't want to miss this ride home. I don't want to get the earliest one out, or I don't want to do something wrong. Way I think. But if you're at the end of your show, I talked to Bill on the phone the other day. He was in Arizona or somewhere. And Dave was in California or something. keep your eyes looking up on the sky. Keep your powder dry. Keep your Bible close at hand. Maybe this podcast can save some eternities, save some lives. Y'all have a Cato. Dave, y'all have a good night, man.
All right.
You got any questions? You got my phone number.
All right. You want us to post that on the website as well, or you keep that to ourselves?
Yeah. Put it on the website. Put it out there. Yeah, put it out there and put out my YouTube under videos. And if you don't hear from me again, that's just the way things got to go. If you do, you do. But I'll be on the side. Just keep me in prayer for protection.
All right. Well, take care of yourself, Joseph.
All right, brother. I love y'all. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Well, 13 minutes to fill.
I'm still here. I just had to mute the line. I'll be right back.
All righty. Yeah. All that and who knows what else. So Kano should be back just in time to close out the show. Well, kind of a anticlimax here in Mysteria Legacy. I just dumped 1,300 aloe on the market. Some guy said he'd come and get it. So, I'm back to my gritting Wellington project. I'm going to bring water to every section of Wellington. Unless somebody's already built there. And I'll bring water right up to it, and that's about it. There we go. Here's where I was working last. Oh, there's a wolf near me. Okay. Not for long. Yay. Okay, well, I guess that's better than most of our D&D podcasts.
Do what?
I guess that was better than most of our D&D podcasts.
True. You can always talk about the game. I gotta do some paperwork, and then I'll be here. I'll be right back.
Yeah, you're gonna miss the end of the show.
Probably. All right, I'll be back.
Oh, and I can't log in. Oh, well, 9 minutes to go. What to fill it in with? I don't know. More rants about how we should behave. Well, for you people who are playing Mysteria Legacy, I'm building up this beautiful store just north of the Arena Ruins in Wellington. So you come out the west end of Arena Ruins, head straight north, and there's my store. Can't miss it. I suggest you come out the north end of the northernmost part of the west side of Arena Ruins. It's got kind of this warped interface, because Arena Ruins isn't very tall, but it joins up with Wellington in various jumps. So you might be side by side in Arena Ruins when you step out. But, you know, if you're walking with somebody, they'll end up being south of you by a number of squares. So take advantage of that. It's fast movement. Do your travel in Arena Ruins north, and then scoot over to Wellington from the northernmost point, and you'll be just south of my store. And then I've got a grid project I'm working on, which you might run into. I'm going to be adding roads to it and such, so people can see where it is and travel accordingly. So, well, let's see if I can log in again. Hey, it's letting me log in. All righty. Well, that's not right. Missed my mark yet again. Well, that's a booger. Do-do-do-do. Give me a shovel. Let's see if I can fix this. Let's see now. No, that's not what I wanted to do. There we go. Yeah. Water is a tricky thing in Mysteria Legacy. You can channel it. But in Wellington, it costs you mist to pull that off. So I got to go kill things to get mist. And yeah. There we go. And it's probably going to tell me that I can't channel water. Oh, there we go. We don't have enough mist. Yep. Okie dokie. Yeah, I like Arena Ruins because I can earn lots of mist really quickly. And I should pick up that bone. Yeah, this guy comes and buys my aloe. I'll be happy. Because then I'll build two more tables for my shop. And I'll start experimenting with prices on things like bone swords and bone shields. See if people will buy them. Somebody asked if somebody died. And Dragon responds, no thanks. All righty. Well, with 2 minutes to go, I'm going to conclude this. Maybe we'll get lucky and Kane will pop in for the last minute. But he's got work, and it's forgivable. I got a cot and a bed. All right, so this concludes the D&D podcast for the week of August 12th, 2018. If you want to learn more about our podcast, you can find us on DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. Check out our other podcast at ScrapGovScrap.com, where we talk about political issues. You know, law, order, governance, behavior. It's some days more interesting than others. We often check on Ron Paul, see what he has to say, and make comment on that. Kano might keep up on the news. Personally, I don't bother. Over and over again, it's all the same thing to me. Anyway. It all repeats.
Do what?
It all repeats. I was closing out the show and doing badly.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. My trailer that I was waiting on, the guy brought it in and it was broke. So I can't take that trailer. And now I'm waiting for another trailer. So this other guy shows up. It's not my trailer, but I thought it might be. So I went to go find out. And so I've been talking to him and he's having issues with paperwork, and he's old school, so he don't know how to work a cam scanner. He barely knows how to work a smartphone, probably. But I mean, you know, he's trying to figure out how to scan his paperwork in and all this other stuff, and he's a whole bunch of stuff. So yeah, I'm still waiting on a trailer, so I'm probably not going to get any work tonight. I might get one load, and that's it. But now I'm getting tired. La vida loca. So, you want to close out the podcast?
Yeah, well, I was closing it out. You might as well close it out.
Well, you might as well close it out.
Well, I kind of did already.
I'm just kidding. So do you, real quick, do you think the subject tonight belongs under DD&D or Scrap Goes Scrap? Because it was more religious than political, but then again, political is religious.
You know, my mindset is politics and religion are the same thing.
Right.
You know, it's this thing where people think religion is just unique. Well, politics.
Separation of church and state.
Yeah, you can't do separation of church and state. It's not possible.
Right, because state is a church.
Yep.
Through
It's how you honor your God and perform your duty to that same. And, you know, there's a reason why Caesar called himself God. It's not because he thought he was Jehovah and that he could throw lightning bolts whenever. It's because that's the role he was filling for his society. He was the person that everybody prayed to in order to get their needs met. And basically, whoever your savior is, whoever you pray for to get your needs met, that is your God. And so Caesar was correctly calling himself God, because for those people, he was. Now, should they have selected him as God? Probably not. Because he certainly wasn't the all-knowing, all-loving, all-powerful God we have in heaven.
Right.
Oh.
The all-powerful, all-knowing God who watches over and manages this gigantic petri dish.
There you go. Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't bring that up.
I didn't have a chance to say hardly anything. He controlled the whole podcast.
He was good at that. Right up until the end, he started to lose it.
Yeah, when I had the opportunity and I wanted to ask a question, I wanted to interject, I was just like, I would say, I got a question. And then I would let him stop and let me start.
There you go.
But yeah. I didn't want to argue with him, even though I don't agree with most, or at least half, of what he had to say. I don't know. I might agree with some of it. I don't know how much of it I would agree.
I gotta watch myself, because I tend to shut people down.
Yeah, I don't want to do that, because we want people to keep calling in.
Yeah.
But I at least want to ask questions, you know, and let the public decide whether or not it's hokey pokey or not, because, shoot, I don't know if it's hokey pokey or not.
Yeah, I'm not a Howard Stern. I can't afford to shut people down.
You what?
I'm not a Howard Stern. I can't afford to shut people down.
True. Yeah, we don't have a gazillion listeners like Art Bell and Ron Beck and Alex Jones and Howard Hughes or whoever, Howard Stern, all those people. But it just depends on what kind of nonsense they're talking. I mean, he's not talking. I mean, he may be talking nonsense. He may, you know, we don't know. But it's not something that I consider worth shutting them down over. You know, if they're being a racist asshole, or I should say a colorist asshole, or even a racist one for that matter, or something that's just totally uncalled for that I don't wish to have on our podcast, that I don't want our listeners to be listening to, yeah, I'll shut them down. Be like, hey, That's inappropriate. We don't need that kind of stuff here, whatever, blah, blah, blah. We don't condone right. that kind of behavior. You know, like if we have, like we had in the past where we had a woman on the podcast and we had a guy making innuendos towards her, I would shut stuff like that down. Now, I didn't pick up on it until after I listened to the podcast, so I didn't catch it. She didn't catch it. Nobody else caught it.
Yeah.
But I caught it when I re-listened to the podcast the next day. And so, yeah, I would shut that. I would shut somebody down for that. But
wasn't it?
Huh?
That was one of our friends too, wasn't it?
It was two of our friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. But neither one knew each other. It was their first time talking to each other on the podcast.
Right.
And we've had three women on our podcast.
Boy,
one of them.
Sad when you can count them on one hand. Not even one hand, half a hand.
Yeah. Well, four if you count my mom. But my mom didn't actually call into the podcast. I rudely put her on the podcast.
Well, you know your mom didn't
care. Yeah, she didn't care. Well, she called me while we were on the podcast, and as I clicked her in, merged the call, and says, "Hey, welcome to the podcast." She didn't care. Jeannie wouldn't have cared if, you know, about the innuendos. She would have, you know, had fun with it. But the other ladies that were on the podcast, they, you know, wouldn't appreciate it as much as Jeannie would have. So, you know, it depends on the woman that's on the podcast and the guy for that matter and, you know, the situation and how, you know, they respond or react to it, you know. But, yeah, if it was Jeannie that was on the podcast with us and he did that, it would have been actually quite amusing. Even though I still don't condone that kind of behavior, you know, because you don't really know who is going to be receptive and who's not. But I would have let it slide for Jeannie. Because she'd have been like, hey!
Right.
But yeah, I mean, things like that. But yeah, if they say something that we don't necessarily agree with, you know, just ask them questions. Lead them further down the rabbit hole. But don't ask the questions as if you're a believer. Ask the questions as if you're, or a non-believer for that matter. Ask the questions as if you are an interviewer and you're just interviewing them for the public.
Yeah. Because
that's basically what we're doing.
Not Joseph, our Joe Mama, that probably identified him too much, but all the same, sent us that link and you relayed it to me before he relayed it to me. Odd reality. And then Joseph mentions odd reality. Odd reality's actually got Joe talking logically about flat versus globe. Because, you know, before you say the earth is flat, he just says you're an idiot. Okay?
You are.
Well, that may be, but I mean, you know, you're also an idiot if you got no proof that it's round.
You don't need proof. It's obvious.
Yeah, well, you know, I fall between the two camps, and I tell you, it's not obvious that it's a globe. It's not obvious that it's flat. It is obvious that it's lumpy. As any ant on a beach ball will tell you about the ball that it's on.
I hear
you. The amp wouldn't be able to cling its little hooked feet to it. But it's all a matter of perspective. You know? So what is it at the larger perspective? Is it flat or is it a sphere? I tend to believe it's a sphere. I have been working up my proofs. And, you know, there's historical proofs, but, you know, a lot of people, you know, me included, can't just read it and say, okay, that's proof. I've got to go out and do the experiment. All right? And I've got to demonstrate that, yes, indeed, it is, you know, it's one or the other.
Right.
Or it's neither. It might be tryptospheric.
Or it might all just be an illusion. There's my chassis.
I think that's what I said. All right, folks. We've gone past the closing of the show.
Yeah, my trailer just got here, I think. So this concludes the D&D podcast. We didn't talk anything about games this time. How dare us?
I did for about 10 minutes.
Oh, did you? Cool. So this concludes the D&D podcast, DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to PK, Red Towers, Mabinugi, Mysterio Legacy, and Dungeons & Dragons. Or as I formally would say, Dungeons & Dragons.com. Oh, wait, no. DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com. All right. We'll talk to you next Sunday, maybe. Call in.
All right. Yeah, call in. Make it interesting.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. All right, I'm going to go see if this is my trailer, and I'm going to go make some money.
Good luck, and good night, folks.
So long, farewell, adios, and goodbye. Hi, goodbye.